So when a culture like that says that some great cataclysm is going to strike the Earth on a particular date, I think the least we should do is listen to them. You know, we don't absolutely have to go around wearing sandwich boards ourselves saying that the end of the world is nigh, but we should listen and we should take it into account in what we're doing. Now, there's a more positive side to the Maya cataclysm, because what they're suggesting is that a former world, yes, comes to an end, but that a new world is born.
Right.
That out of the ruins of the old arises a new, perhaps a new form of human consciousness is waiting in the wings to be born, which will no longer have patience with this world that we have built, and with the indeed the catastrophes and cataclysms that our civilization is already unleashing upon the world. It's also interesting, when you look at ancient traditions about this, that every one of them, whether it's the story of Atlantis, whether it's the flood of Noah in the Bible, every one of these traditions, and there's thousands of them from all around the world, implicates humanity itself in the disaster that strikes us. And
right.
I must say, in mythological terms, when I look at our society today, I look at a society that would be described in mythological terms as a soon-to-be lost civilization. Because in every possible way, we have angered the gods, we have lost the mandate of heaven, we have abused the privilege of stewardship of this planet, and that is the arrogance of Atlantis, and that is the arrogance that could indeed bring our civilization to its knees, and perhaps surprisingly quickly. So yes, I do take what the Maya had to say extremely seriously.
I have a quick follow-up question. Where do you think the Mayans got this information from about this warning about 2012?
I think, personally, this is my view. I've backed it up in books like Fingerprints of the Gods, is that it all goes back to a former civilization. That there was in the world, living around the coastal margins, more than 12,000 years ago, a highly advanced culture, a culture that was capable of mapping the whole world, because one of the legacies they've left us are a series of ancient maps that actually show the world as it looked during the last ice age. And if you're going to explore and map the whole world, then you're a pretty advanced civilization. And that civilization, memorialized, for example, in the myth of so-called myth of Atlantis, was destroyed by a gigantic cataclysm. There were survivors. They sought to establish themselves at various locations around the world, and they passed down a tradition and a memory and a warning of what happened before and what will return again. And I think the Maya were the inheritors of that ancient system of knowledge.
Well, then that actually kind of makes sense, because if I recall correctly, in La Venta, Mexico, they have those huge heads, which I believe are called the Olmecs or something
like
that.
The Olmec heads.
Yes.
Absolutely extraordinary.
And
yes.
I mean, they had the facial features of Africans and other
yes.
cultures. And it doesn't make sense to me how they could be there in Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. When we realize that they're thousands of years older than the time when Africa and the New World were supposed to have come into contact, in other words, at the time of Columbus. These Olmec heads go back thousands of years before that. They're gigantic stone sculptures. And they do most definitely represent African individuals. So they are also a testament to a lost period of history, some connection between the New World and Africa that goes back deep into prehistory, memorialized in those gigantic sculptures. It's just a huge series of unexplained mysteries like these. The mystery of the Great Pyramid of Giza, for goodness sake. I mean, you know, 6 million ton monuments, perfectly, perfectly oriented to true north, south, east, and west.
Right.
I mean, within a tiny fraction of a single degree, almost space age accuracy. No
right.
modern architect could do it.
No.
And this building is supposed is one of the according to conventional history, it's one of the oldest buildings standing in Egypt. There's no background to it. It just comes out of nowhere. And they, you know, they're putting it at the date of 2,500 BC, but what I'm suggesting is that the knowledge that is expressed in the Great Pyramid must go back much, much earlier than that and have been brought to the fore again at the time of that construction project. You know, you don't see hundreds of years of preparation to build the Great Pyramid. It's like somebody just switches on a light and there it is. And so it's a series of mysteries like this that lead me to suspect that we have got a huge forgotten episode in human history. We are a species with amnesia. And until we get to grips with this aspect of our past, you know, we're not going to be able to move forward to the future.
Yeah, I think some of us have more than just amnesia, Graham.
Dave can't remember what he had for breakfast yesterday.
Indeed, yes, I know.
Yeah, I'm 59. I wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and go, who the hell is that, you know?
That one, yeah, I have that experience too, yeah.
This is Bob. He's a hard-working 30-something male that is well-liked at the office. But Bob is hiding a secret affliction that he's hidden all his life. You see, Bob suffers from what has just been recently diagnosed as politicus uneducatus. Fortunately for Bob and millions of sufferers like him, there is help available for the politically uninformed. And it's available free 24 hours a day to anyone connected to the internet. All Bob has to do is type in www.abovepolitics.com and his disease soon will disappear completely. With Above Politics, Bob can now be informed in what's happening not only with the U.S., but also in the worldwide politics arena. It doesn't matter if it's liberal, conservative, socialized, moderate, or other. Bob can't help but become better educated. He'll soon be up to speed on important issues on topics like the economy, military and security action, energy and science, religious and spiritual influences. And when it comes to finding out the latest on the political players' motivation and sentiments, Bob now will know the difference from the left and the right and everything in between. If you cringe at political discussions around the water cooler like Bob does, grab a pen and paper now and write this web address down. www.abovepolitics.com. It will change your life forever.
You know, another thing that you and I have a great passion about is the conceptual idea of transdimensional beings. Tell me a little bit about your philosophy on that.
Well, this has really become a central issue for me as I have worked with this South American sacred plants called ayahuasca, which have enabled me to experience directly the reality of other dimensions and of beings that inhabit them. Now, I'm prepared to accept that that's not what they are, but that is how I have experienced them and how many, many other people I know who've worked with this mysterious shamanistic brew have experienced them, that we live in a multidimensional universe, that all around us, all the time, a much wider reality than we are able to see interpenetrates our own.
Right.
That in the normal, alert, problem-solving state of consciousness of everyday life, we just cannot know or experience or see those other dimensions. And quantum physicists are trying to build gigantic machines in order to break into parallel dimensions, like the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva, Switzerland, the largest scientific instrument of the planet, billions of dollars worth of investment, primarily to find out whether we can get into these other dimensions that quantum physicists already are convinced exist. And what I've come to realize is it's probably a whole lot simpler than that. We have the instrument inside our heads right now.
Right.
It's called our brains. And what we have to do is to adjust our state of consciousness, just as I mentioned earlier, just as you would retune a TV set to pick up a different signal. All those other signals are out there broadcasting, but in order to gain access to them, we have to change our level and state of consciousness. And shamans in traditional cultures all around the world are the masters of the technology to do that. And it's a psychic technology, a technology of altering consciousness. Can be done with powerful hallucinogenic plants, can also be done with certain kinds of music, with rhythmic dancing, with fasting. There are all kinds of different techniques that shamans have developed to change the receiver wavelength of the brain and allow us to make contact with other realities. And I think this is one area where Western civilization really needs to sit at the feet of traditional cultures and learn from them. Because as the late, great Terence McKenna said, the shamans of tribal and hunter-gatherer cultures around the world have kept the flame of a tremendous mystery burning, while our society persists in believing that there is no mystery. this is one of, to my mind, one of the worst things about the dominance of science in Western civilization. Science is a brilliant thing. It's a wonderful system for manipulating and exploring the physical realm. But right. if by chance there is more to reality than the physical world, science is not the right instrument for exploring it. And the techniques of shamanism developed over thousands of years, I believe, are the right instrument. And I've been trying to learn from those techniques right. over the last several years. And I've had some extraordinary experiences that have changed my view of reality.